Hello and welcome to another Dose Conspiracy, guys. This time, we're doing a little true crime episode about, it's probably not about, like, you know, the usual crack serial killers and, you know, murders or had their mickeys whipped with bamboo sticks by their mammies or, you know, some lad who just can't keep it in his pants and also wants to chop people up and eat them. This one's about a weird little murder, weird little death of a very famous actress, you all know her, Brittany Murphy. And she died in 2009, Lord have mercy on Brittany, and under very suspicious circumstances, of which I was not aware. I knew, like, oh yeah, she died, and I had it boxed off in my head, like, ah, oh, yeah, she's probably on the mad coke, fucking overdose, whatever. Not true, sir. Not true at all. And it was brought to light by my lovely guest in the hot seat today. You'd probably know her better as Shona Ellen from her YouTube channel. Where she talks about, she gives out about, you know, cunts and arseholes, and also talks a little bit about movies and pop culture. So I'd like to welcome to the show the queen princess of anti SJW, definitely in Ireland. Shona,
making that my Twitter bio after this.
Yeah, what's going on, girl?
Thank you for having me on. I'm so excited.
It's been so long. We've been internet friends for ages, and we met in real life for the first time today. And it hasn't been weird at all.
It actually was so, it flowed so well.
Yeah, I feel like it's my cousin that I haven't seen. But she moved away and then she's come home finally. And I'm like, well, remember that time we all went to the beach? Yeah, it's cool, man. We're going to be talking about Brittany Murphy.
Yeah, I'm excited.
And this is your suggestion. And like I said, this is the first time ever that I've allowed a guest to decide the thing. I said, I really want you on the show. I didn't want to bombard you with, like, you know, some fucking... some true crime serial killer murderer. We'll just talk about how many girls that he bludgeoned and raped to death, which is the usual fare for a true crime show. We've done a few, like, we've had the death of Bruce Lee, we've had, like, Jim Morrison, we've had Elvis, Marilyn Monroe, loads of these different episodes on the show before. This one doesn't deserve, I mean, sorry, Brittany's spirit up there. This one, you wouldn't get a 4-hour episode of it because there isn't that much online. But it'll definitely get, you know, enough time to get talked about in detail.
Well, I'm like a massive fan. So when I spoke to you about it, I was like, why haven't you done a true crime on Brittany Murphy?
And I was like, what do you mean true crime on Brittany? Bitch died of too much cocaine. And you were like,
Yeah, but like no one talks about it. Like, and I'm such a big fan of her. And like, she kind of had a really, not a short career, but like she did a lot of big movies, but no one seems to talk about her death. It just kind of was like, oh, she's dead. And then
even
that was
her
it.
Life, like the way we're going to talk about it in a little while, her career was very much second place.
Yeah.
She was a second place kind of person with a first place kind of attitude and a first place kind of skill. And I think her time was to come and died under very suspicious circumstances. I don't want to do a spoiler on it, so we'll let them know when it happens. So before you knew about the death, what did you know about Brittany Murphy? Like, what was your general feeling about how she had died when you heard about it first?
Well, I can't even remember what age I was, but I remember just being devastated. I knew nothing about it because this was a long time ago now, kind of. Well, it was a good while ago.
2009, so you're like 21, 22.
I wasn't really, 20? Yeah, probably. 20. But I didn't really use the internet. Like, I did, but like, I wouldn't be Googling what happened to her. I just kind of take face value with news. And all I knew was she died of like a potential overdose is what they were saying, I believe, on the news. And I was like, oh my God, I was devastated. Like I was so upset. Like, I cried. Devil. Like I could, there's like three celebrities I've ever cried over and she was one of them. And I was just like so upset about it. And I didn't know anything. I just knew that she was gone and she was so young. And then
I didn't expect it. And I did. When I heard about it, I was like,
It's
and
it's
happening
one.
around the same time, like Michael Jackson had just died, and it was all.
Yeah, it seemed like a lot of celebrities were just suspiciously dying of like medical related things. Yeah. Like that's kind of what it seemed like, and I actually knew nothing about her personal life until after.
Right.
I was a fan of her like movies and her personality, but like after she died, like I watched a lot of the like. No, there's some true crime things out there. There's some things on YouTube that are pretty terrible, but like
on the A&E channel.
Yeah,
I watched those yucks on YouTube over the last few days.
I watched the Lifetime one.
Holy fucking Jesus Christ!
Yeah, they're pretty bad. So
really
like,
bad.
And there's some fan. There's like a fan. I actually was gonna buy it. Some fan made a book. It's like the Unsolved Brittany Murphy case, but apparently it's like really bad. No offense to you if you're listening to this.
Yeah.
But like, I was gonna buy it, but I think it was just a mad conspiracy theory about everything, and I was trying to like. Learn about it. And then when I asked you about it, I was like, this is the perfect opportunity for me to
dive deep.
Dive deep into this and to have someone listen to me.
I've dove deep. I'm right up by the back of the uterine wall is how deep I got on this motherfucker. Yeah. Like, not a lot of information is out there. Yeah,
that's the weird thing.
Not a lot of concrete stuff.
And I think that's why the conspiracy theories that are surrounded with her death are so compelling, because there is so little information. You're like, what if?
Yeah.
Like, what if this is one of the biggest unsolved mysteries ever and no one's ever talking about it?
What if she's a casualty of domestic terrorism or espionage around domestic terrorism? Now, that's a little thing like I found it online. It was part of one of the documentaries as a footnote. And I was like, oh, yeah, by the way, as well, this. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Looking it up and found it in her latter years. She was advocating for a woman who was a whistleblower. And then the next thing, she's fucking brown bread.
I only found out that with the like Lifetime movie that was done by her. That was the only time I ever heard that. And I said it to you and I was like, what the heck is this?
So there is
there's so much here to talk about.
There's a lot of onion layers to be pulled back.
Yes.
There is. I mean, for anybody out there who's a fan of Brittany Murphy, cool. I guess she's pretty niche. She'd be like being a fan of like Selma Blair.
How dare you?
No, do you know what I mean? She's like, yeah. Oh yeah, man, I love that girl that's in loads of movies. I can't remember her name though.
She's kind of
It's like being a Mira Sorvino.
Yeah, fan. Mina Suvari. Is that her name?
No, Mira Sorvino.
What? I've been saying it wrong all my life.
No, Mina Suvari is the one from American Beauty.
Oh yeah, okay. Who's Mina Suvari?
Myrna Severna.
It's like a tongue twist.
Yeah, Myrna Severna. She's the one that was in Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion.
Oh, yeah, okay.
The other one, Lisa Kudrow. And then she wouldn't suck Harvey Weinstein's cock, so her career melted away.
See, that's the thing.
Like cotton wool in a cup of tea.
Brittany Murphy, her career was like, she had a good career. If you actually look back at it, like the movie she was in, you know them. Like, I guarantee
they're all
you
Oscar winners.
Yeah,
and
like
shit,
I guarantee you know the movie she's in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she was in movies with like legit actors, like, you know, she'd got some good roles. And then like I just feel like you said, people are like, oh, that girl,
that chick, that,
she in the
with the
noise.
Eyes and the lips,
yeah, yeah. Like the girl from The Noise. And then she had a music career and everything as well. Yeah.
she was such an odd little like, you know, pixie minx.
Yeah, she was little,
you know,
she had so much potential. That's what upsets me, like I might cry in this podcast.
We might get our first live streaming tier. Before we go too much further then, Shauna, tell us about your own channel. We were talking about it at length now for the last few hours where we had cups of tea and tried to dissect the market, our YouTube future. And I think a lot of people need to be doing that, especially us Irish YouTubers banding together.
Boom.
I definitely would love to have you on the show again for a long one if you're
really
able.
I'd love that.
But your YouTube channel, I really appreciate it. You say some shit that nobody else is saying. The fact that you're a woman, congratulations on the ovaries,
by the way.
Thank you. You're a woman and you're saying this stuff, and then like the shit that you get in the comments and then the praise that you get in the comments.
It's weird, yeah. It's a weird thing.
It's a bananas phenomenon, especially you're Irish. Like, it's such a confluence of weird things. Like, you're Irish, you're from the country, you're a young girl, you have these, you know, I think logical anti-SJW, like, hey, look at this thing. And then everyone say, hey, you have a vagina and boobies, you're supposed to be on our team. And you're like, whoa, 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 don't lump me in with all of you guys, motherfuckers. Like, this is...
Yeah, it creates a weird dynamic because I feel like a lot of my audience is American.
Yeah.
So like they kind of get it because there's like a lot of people in America who are doing this kind of content. But yeah. I only thought about it the other day. I was just telling you, I went to Jordan Peterson and I realized when I was in the crowd, I don't know anyone else who makes the same videos as me in Ireland who's female, especially female, not even male and female. I know one other person maybe. And at that, that's it. And I was like, this is a weird position to be in. I never really thought about it before. Like, I never really thought about it. And it's just such a weird
Some people call
niche.
It a market leader.
Yeah, maybe.
You have all of those things.
It's weird.
Girl, you got to get on it. I think you're tipping off 60,000 subscribers on
Nearly,
the channel.
Yeah.
Is that right? So, I mean, you know, it's not to shake your stick at. So
it's
Shauna
on.
Ellen is the name of the channel. And you also have another one where you talk about mental health and your own kind of struggles with having a fucking head.
You can basically find me at Ellie Jaden everywhere.
called Shauna Speaks as well, right?
Yeah.
How are you getting on with that?
I was thinking of conjoining the two because initially I was thinking, oh, it'd be great to have two channels. And then I realized how difficult it is to have one channel. And now I'm kind of fumbling about finding my place of where to go with everything.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my thing now. But like, I do know that I have a lot of opinions and I think I like getting conversations going. That's why I like doing this. Like, even being here with you is weird because I do it on my own and I'm talking to myself. But when you read the comments and I meet people like you in person, it's like, oh, I'm not the only one. And people actually care about talking about these things, and that's what's really, really cool. So like,
especially in Ireland where we're all like, oh yeah, we have a fucking septic tank with 800 babies' bones in it.
I made a video about that.
Let's not talk about it.
I made a video about that, and most people never knew that was a thing.
The nuns took the children from the arms of their mothers and threw them in septic tanks.
It's a wild thing.
Because you're not supposed to have them. And then they imprisoned those women against their will in a laundry and made them work until they were old age, and then they died. And we had those in operation in Ireland until the mid-90s. That is no joke.
And then when Stephen Fry was here, didn't we try to like get him arrested or some shit, like for saying he didn't believe in God or something?
No, he said God is cruel. We have a cruel God.
Yeah.
He lets
Gay Barn was like, no.
He lets children die of terrible diseases. And then someone fucking reported him, and he was going, how much is the fine? 25,000? Surely. Now, as we sit here recording this in late autumn, we're just about to vote on taking the blasphemy, the kind of the phraseology of blasphemy out of our constitution, so we can actually give out about the church in the public media. And it's been,
that's going to be great.
There's a whole I think castration of publicly allowed discourse in our country.
I feel like Irish people are weird. We don't want to talk about things.
We do want to talk about things, but only after a feed, a drink, and if no one else is listening.
I think that's why, like, doing things like even your podcast and stuff, it's so refreshing for people, because Irish people like that, they don't like to. We just don't. Like you said, unless you get alcohol in you, or even if you're pressed, some people don't say anything. Mm-hmm. And that's why I find some people get really overwhelmed when you start, like, speaking your mind in Ireland, because they don't know how to deal with you.
Yeah.
They just don't know what to do with you. Like,
what are you doing talking about how you feel?
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what it is. It's like that in every way. Start
talking about it.
And then, like, Ireland...
They're not ready to deal with how I feel yet.
But Ireland is quite a liberal country. Would you agree? Like, it is quite liberal. So if you say anything remotely against the grain, like, you're the worst. And it's a small country. So...
But it's all talk and no action, I feel. It's all mouth and no trousers.
Yeah.
It's very liberal in the media, very liberal on the front. But then when actual policies and stuff come in, it's not really, do you know? That's why I find your channel so refreshing, because you're coming out and going like, here's an opinion.
Thank you.
And then the people who agree with you are usually not from Ireland. I think the people from Ireland usually go, shut up.
I actually do have people from Ireland who do agree with me and comment with me and stuff. But I do get a lot of Irish people who disagree with me on things.
But they'll be more vocal about the disagreement than the agreement.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I don't mind that either, because I actually like the debate, and I'm open to learning. Like, I will change my mind on things if someone presents me with a good argument and facts and I'm like, never thought that.
Mm.
And I will, and I'm happy to change my mind.
And we can grow as people.
Yeah, I'm happy to change my mind. Because we don't
have a bag over our head and making a fake persona that we have to live up to. So yeah, you can find Shona on YouTube. Ellie Jaden is her main channel, and Shona Speaks is the other channel about mental health and just having a head, which I think should be like more utilized. Hopefully you'd make more content.
That's
for
another
that.
Thing in Ireland that I don't think we talk about enough. So
no.
I want to say the things no one's saying. That's pretty much what I want to
do. Yeah, girl.
That's what I want to do. Fight
like
the shouting power.
Fire in a theater, metaphorically. So yeah, all the links for all of Shona's stuff is going to be in the description below, be it the podcast or if you're watching this on YouTube. So if anything we say about Brittany Murphy or any stuff that we leave out or say that's wrong, or if you're a super duper Brittany Murphy fan and you think we got it all wrong, you can hit me up on email info@thoseconspiracyguys.com. We're on all the social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, Vero, Mix, Snapchat, fucking Jesus, anything that has a social media thing, we're probably on it, right? So go and check that out. They killed Stumble Upon, which is one of my favorite internet things.
Never used it.
Yeah, it's back in the old days.
I remember.
They changed
it
into Mix, so we're on Mix now. To find all your conspiracy bits and bobs. We're also streaming this live on YouTube, like I said. So we have a YouTube channel with all the videos of all the old episodes. I'm not really putting much more up there because YouTube are cunts. And they demonetize you and take you off. Until you're getting loads of your stuff demonetized, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, it happens to me. Before I even properly have a video fully uploaded, they demonetize me.
Yeah, that's bullshit. Like, they're OCR and everybody's speech. So if you say, like, certain phrases, if you talk about, you know, suicide or guns or, you know, anything anti-SJW or anything that's even the slightest bit conservative. Mm-hmm. Facebook and Twitter are the same. I mean, what are you going to do? They're the main social media platforms, and if they don't want you on it, they'll fuck you off it. So we have a YouTube channel for now. It's demonetized, so all of the good stuff is over at BitChute, bit.ly/thoseconspiracyguys. So a BitChute channel, loads of documentaries there. All the stuff I talk about in all the old episodes, documentaries, little video clips, stuff that I put on there that I won't or can't put on YouTube because of, you know, copyright or because of just like bullshit rules that YouTube are trying to suppress the message, man. There's also a Facebook and Twitter alternatives. If you have abdicated from the Facebook gulag, you can head over to minds.com, M-I-N-D-S. And we have a page over there. We're putting up all the same articles and sharing all the same social stuff that we do on Facebook, but it's in a kind of a half Facebook and half Reddit type of kind of a dealio over there. And then there's gab.com, which is a Twitter/Reddit a comment section. There's you can't put big massive long posts. Gab is more like Twitter and Minds is more like Facebook. So there's alternatives if you want to get off the mainstream. And Twitter is full of fucking soy drinking,
I love Twitter,
nip lappers. Yeah, but Twitter's it's also my favorite. I spend a lot of time on Twitter, but you can't say anything, and if you do,
I was suspended by Twitter once.
Yeah?
Yeah, what they suspended me. What did I say? I actually can't even remember what it was. I mentioned something. It was something to do with Ireland.
But it wasn't trans women aren't real women, was it?
No, it was something.
They gave Graham Lennon an awful time.
I can't remember what it was. I mentioned something about Ireland. I can't remember what it was. It was something to do with a protest that was going on in Ireland. And actually suspended my account for a full 24 hours. And I was shook. I was like, this has never happened to me before. Like, I was like, what?
To be honest, I'm surprised I haven't got banned.
Oh, I couldn't believe I got banned. And I wouldn't mind any. I've said far worse things. Like, I've said a lot more controversial stuff than that. And I was like, why that one thing?
You better not tell them because they're going to go through your whole thing now and try.
You will find some crazy stuff.
Mass report this bitch.
But even stuff I've said, like, to me, it's logical. You know, that kind of way. It's not crazy. Like, but I think they just censor anything that they're like, nope, don't like that.
There's a list. There's a list. You're being watched.
And I definitely think I'm on a list.
Oh, I'm definitely on a list.
I'm definitely on a list. I know for sure I'm on a list.
They have lists in the app, like.
Oh, God.
Yeah. You're caught.
It's so scary. It's such a weird thing.
Yeah, and especially now at this time, like, obviously you're listening to this in the future, dear listener. You know, we're going through a whole time when it's coming up to the midterm elections and loads of people are getting, like, thousands of pages and and Twitter accounts are being just switched off. Like, it's like 1984, you know. So get us on the social media anywhere you can. We also have the lifeblood of the show, Patreon. Patreon.com/thoseconspiracyguys. If you want to throw a couple of dollars and get stuff. I'm not one of those guys that asks for Patreon and doesn't give you stuff. This is live streaming now for Patreon only. You can watch it now if you're a normal person, but if you want to watch any of the shows in the future that we're going to live stream, they're all exclusive to Patreon first. You get early access to any of the blogs, any of the videos. You get an Instagram that's private to everybody else, the TCGTV Instagram. You get access to the documentaries before anybody else gets them. You get behind the scenes daily vlogs. You get outtakes. You get extra little bits and bobs. And you get all of my appearances wherever I'm on radio, TV, or anybody else's podcast. All comes in a nice little private RSS feed that's off the main road just for Patreon folks. So if you want to help that out, you want to buy me a drink. I don't drink, but you can send me a fiver. It's cool if you do it on the internet, but not cool if you do it in real life. Like, would you like a drink, Shauna? She's like, no, but just give me the fiver instead. Like, it's weird. So we can do that. Send it to me. Just roll up a fiver and just throw it up the internet at me. And it'd be so appreciative. And you get something from it too. You're helping make independent media possible. And this is my full-time job. And I really, really appreciate everybody who's on that Patreon. There's, I think, almost 800 of you beautiful motherfuckers out there. So thanks so much for that. Anything else? Any other social media? You're on social media at Ellie Jaden.
At Ellie Jaden everywhere. God, that's a tongue twister.
I hope I had a man.
At Ellie Jaden everywhere. And I have a Patreon too, Ellie Jaden also.
So I'll put all of her links in the thing below. So let's get into Britney now. If you were to say that she was a superstar, you wouldn't be right and you wouldn't be wrong.
Yeah, she had a kind of in-between career where she was really, really famous and she was in some big movies.
Yeah.
But I don't know, it's weird. Like, she had, I feel like she was on the cusp of something.
Yes.
But like in a lot of early noughties.
Cusp of a respiratory failure, it turned out to be.
But in like the late 90s to early noughties, like, she was a big enough name.
Yeah.
Like, she was a big enough name. She was in quite a few movies. She was recognizable. And I feel like she had quite a, like, her career was like of a certain time period, like where she was really big and she was in certain kind of movies.
And she started to fall off, right?
Yeah. And there's a few movies of hers that aren't popular that I really enjoy, but like, it's because I'm a fan that I enjoy them. Do you know that kind of way?
I know the way.
So it's that kind of way. I feel like if you're a Brittany Murphy fan, you're a Brittany Murphy fan. You know all her stuff.
You're in.
you're in. Yeah. Getting
Brittany Murphy tattoos on your back, like full size Brittany Murphy face. Well, with the smoky eye and everything.
That's like Alan Partridge, where I have a big Brittany Murphy.
Back, like, check it out. That shit is only for Patreon, folks. Yeah, yeah, Patreon.com/Patreon,
you'll see my back tattoo.
Let's talk about young Brittany then. Brittany Murphy was born Brittany Ann Berlotti on November 10th, 1977 in Atlanta, Georgia. And she moved to Los Angeles in her early teens with her single mom, Sharon Murphy. So Sharon and Brittany's father, Angelo Berlotti, divorced Sharon when she was just two. I've said that wrong. Sharon wasn't just two. Brittany was two, and then Angelo divorced her mother when Brittany was just two. And she was raised by Sharon as a single mother in a place called Edison, New Jersey, for about 10 years. So in 1991, then, at the age of 14, Sharon acquiesced to Brittany's request to follow her dreams and become an actor. And they sold up everything in New Jersey and they just moved to California at 13. Like, that's
crazy.
That's a big supportive move from a mother who's looking at a child going to ballet classes, going to singing lessons, like being like a cute little girl. And she's like, you know what? Let's try it, man. Fuck it.
I feel like a lot of those mothers, like, when they're all in, they're all in with like doing it. Like, they're willing to, like
Britney Spears' mom, Christina Aguilera's mom. Yeah,
kind of like
a
stage mom type thing.
Mrs. Timberlake.
Like, if your kid shows any interest and you think they have any talent, they're like, oh. Yeah. Like Macaulay Culkin's family.
But Macaulay Culkin's family, like, milked that child until he was dry and sore.
Yeah.
But some don't. Some, you know, some genuinely support. Just,
yeah.
Like Nick Cannon's parents or John Mayer's parents are, you know, they just bring you over to the thing and away you go.
Like, yeah. Got your wings.
I think maybe 20 years ago, if you were a kid moving to LA, like Lindsay Lohan's parents let her go to LA at a young age, there was probably no restrictions. You were probably going over there, balls out. You were being like coke blowing up your arse with a straw by some movie producers. And then you're 14 and your boobs haven't even grown in yet. And there's lads like running a train on you on a black leather couch somewhere, and you're going like, oh well, this is Hollywood. Like, that
it's
happens.
Such a weird place. Like, it must be so weird to bring your kid to LA and to like
let them loose to the wolves.
I feel like kids have blind confidence though, so to go in there and just be like, it's me. Like, it's kind of probably easier than being an adult.
Tomorrow and you're like, yeah, this is for you're playing a 14-year-old drug addled prostitute opposite Ethan Hawke. And you're like, oh, I thought this was Annie. Like, it's not.
And ironically, she did do a lot of those kind of psychological and mental movies.
Yeah,
she played a lot of weird roles.
I think, and that put the kind of public persona out there that followed her later on, where she was like on drugs and a bit mental. But from the age of four, Brittany was into the performing arts, and she went to this place called the Vern Fowler School of Dance and Theater in Colonia, New Jersey. So she was doing dance. She was dancing. She was singing. She was playing piano. Like, she was talented, you know? That Murphy girl, she's talented. She was always dancing, singing, and performing at home. She was taking part in ballet, musicals, and theater all over the place. And then after the move to California, she was cast in this TV show at 14. She was cast in this TV show called Drexel's Class, and then another TV show spin-off of a weird thing called The Torkelsons. That's the name of a TV show. The Torkelsons had a spin-off called Almost Home. Never heard of either.
No.
But the Torkelsons doesn't really fall off the tongue easily. It's like, oh man, did you see that new episode of the Torkelsons last night? It's like,
such
no.
a weird name.
What the fuck? She had bit parts in loads of TV shows like Blossom, Sequest, DSV. She played that really intelligent dolphin with the metal head thing. That was her. Murder One. Remember with that giant black dude?
No.
Who was like,
can't say I do.
I'm a judge and I'm tough but I'm fair. Remember that guy?
No.
He looked like the bad guy from the cartoon version of Spider-Man, like the Kingpin.
Oh yeah.
But he was black and he's like, I'm a lawyer, I'm tough but I'm fair. You're like, what the fuck? And I had a white guy that looked like Kingpin as well. There's two of them.
How random.
Like, I'm black and you're white. We're tough but we're fair. So she was in Murder One. She was in Frasier.
That's a pretty big one to be on, in fairness.
As a repeating character as well.
Yeah.
She's on Frasier.
Crazy.
She also had reoccurring parts on Sister Sessa. Never
I love
knew
that.
How much I miss her. Lisa Landry.
I loved Lisa.
Lisa Landry was...
I've seen a picture of her recently. She looks the same.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's insane. It's crazy.
A little bit of money will keep you preserved. Yeah. Like, and the black
don't
crack.
She was good.
I saw... Like, whenever I saw Sister, I was also at the time watching The Cosby Show.
They're very similar. I think
that, like, sort just, of.
Maybe that, I'm just thinking that.
That and then like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah.
So I felt like as a preteen that I had some kind of connection to the black community. And I've always said that on the show, you know, I do
like
feel
like Kenan and Kel and everyone. Kenan like Kel there was so many programs
who
like that.
Like Orange Soda. But the Cosby Show, now that we know what we know, you know, had that drink of water over there, Shona, you feeling sleepy yet? Like, it doesn't.
That was a weirdly good impression. Yeah,
it's a bit like, so I would look at Sister Sister, and then I'd look at The Cosby Show, and I think Lisa Landry is like the embarrassing, like, sister.
I like her, though.
Of Mrs. Huxtable that no one talks about. And it's like, Tia, Tamara, come on, we're going over to Dr. Huxtable's house. Lisa Landry.
It's a Landry.
Like, that's, it's mental. I always wanted her and Ray to fall in love.
They did, didn't they? Did that not kind of happen? I feel like that happened.
There's a few shifts and a few rides. Yeah,
I think we're always kind of, we're supposed to want them to get together because she's crazy, he's sensible.
Ray was trying to always get it in, man. That's
why. I think he was.
That's why he's, go home, Roger. I'm trying to get it in to Lisa. She was also on Party of Five.
Love that show.
No, this is Brittany Murphy now. And what did you like about Party of Five? I never watched it. It was kind of like
I can't completely remember, but I remember really fancying one of the brothers. Yeah. And then Neve Campbell was on it, who's like amazing.
Yeah.
Love Neve Campbell. Yeah. I just loved it. I can't remember. I know I loved it. Can't remember much about it.
A lot of time in like dimly lit restaurants and stuff like that. Like behind the counter.
Yeah, I think they did.
Yeah, it's a lot of dimly lit. That was the late 90s.
Yeah.
6 Feet Under and
type thing,
ER, those kind of
Party like Five was popular, like, yeah, that was a big show,
huge, yeah.
So,
and then also, Brittany Murphy was also in Boy Meets World.
Never watched it, but I know it's like really iconic.
Topanga, yeah, it was again, it was for the juice.
Oh my god,
yeah, there was, didn't need to be represented. I wasn't into it either. I saw that got rebooted now, though. That's,
yeah,
like,
I think I heard that recently.
Boy Meets, not Boy Meets World, but it's
Boy Gender meets, ambiguous kid meets world.
I think, yeah. Boy Meets Girl, I think it's called now. And
I'm offended.
Your
by
man
that.
Has grown up and he's now the teacher in the school that he was in. And I'm like, dude, you've done nothing for 20 years and then you come back to the same job. You know, it's fucking weird. But yeah, her breakout role, Brittany Murphy's breakout role, was Ty in Clueless from 1995, starring alongside another almost unknown actor at the time, Alicia Silverstone.
What a movie.
Yeah.
What a movie.
It was great that Alicia Silverstone ended up like breaking out of acting and going into Tires. Mm-hmm. That's where she made her millions.
She was in Peep Show.
Peep Show?
Yeah. Never seen
she
Peep
was.
Show?
She was the girlfriend in Peep
Show. Yeah, she
was. She was a Batgirl in the worst Batmans.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. She had a load of movies.
She's like really vegan. When I was vegan, I bought her book.
Vegan.
And the book told me that tomatoes would give me cancer.
What?
Yeah, I bought. She's really, really vegan. And when I was vegan for 2 years, I bought her book as like a Bible because it was meant to be like the best vegan book ever. And it was like, here's a list of things you can't eat. And it was like every red vegetable ever gives you cancer,
what?
Apparently.
Why?
Yeah, it was really, it was such a like super vegan book. Like,
are you sure she's vegan? She wasn't just colorblind. She's like, oh no, that thing is gray. You shouldn't eat that thing.
I don't know
like,
what it
was. It's red.
I think it's because like tomatoes are kind of acidic or something. I don't know, but it was weird. She's super vegan.
What do you think of Clueless? Because I know it's an iconic
love it.
Movie. I do
rolling
love it
with
too.
The homies.
That's this. I remember watching it like a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. I think it was maybe more like a coming of age movie for
girls. See, as a
girl, like Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion.
Yeah,
Clueless. Like there was a few of those.
That whole era of movies is like everything to me.
But. They were gender typifying movies that weren't just based around romance. Like they weren't passing the Bechdel test, but they were fucking like they were good films.
They were, and that, like I think they like Clueless provided the basis for like a lot of female driven like teen movies. Like without Clueless, there would have been no Mean Girls.
Yes.
Like when you look at things like that, things like that are popular because girls are mean, right? Girls are mean and bitchy and it's scary being a girl and navigating your world through like school and what you have to wear. And like Brittany Murphy's character in Clueless had no clue. Like she kind of didn't care. She
was
just
almost a story of her actual life, which is like,
yeah, finding
girl
her way.
From New Jersey comes to Los Angeles to find her way. Like you couldn't be typecast. Like it was her.
Yeah,
it was her.
And that's why I like Brittany Murphy in all her movies, because like Brittany Murphy was incredibly vulnerable in all her movies. Like even though she's playing a part, you could tell that she had her own shit going on. Like, yeah, there was something there, like, in all her roles, like,
it's
there's
a weird
something.
Sparkle behind the eyes.
But even that, think about Clueless, like, Ty finding her way through the world. She kind of wanted to hang out with the skater boy, but they were like, no, be with us, be cool, you know? And she ended up being just as cool for a while and taking over the place. And
I'd nearly watch Clueless tonight now.
I know. Maybe we should watch Clueless.
Yeah, let's do it. I think that for roles like that, it's hard for people when they're watching something, and we find out later on like how that affected Brittany Murphy's reputation, but when they're watching something and they see somebody acting like that and then they can't separate themselves from the person.
That's it.
Do you know what I mean? Like, there are people who have range, and this one had proper good range, like, from, you know, funny to super serious, from, you know, like, frivolous to heavy drama. Like, mm-hmm. she was able to do it all. And I think she was very much underappreciated.
I definitely agree.
Clueless probably isn't up there on my list, but it's, like you said, without Clueless, there's no Mean Girls. There's no, like, all of those, the swath of those movies mm-hmm. for young women.
I feel like that's probably her most, like, famous role for, like, most people.
Yeah.
If you say, oh, you know your girl from Clueless, like, oh, yeah. But, like,
what, the blonde one? No, the other one.
Yeah. But, like, I feel
that's
like
the
she was really the star of Clueless, though. Like,
supposed to be.
You know what I mean? Like,
but
she,
it ended up being Alicia Silverstone,
yeah,
though.
But
right?
It's funny because I feel like Brittany Murphy, when you look at that movie, like,
it was set up for her to be the starlet.
Yeah. But it didn't work out that way.
It's the Ugly Betty, or it's the.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know?
That was such a trend, wasn't it, in, like, noise movies, where you get, like, a good-looking girl, but you just put glasses on her and you take them off and they're like, oh, she's beautiful. Yeah. You know, like, it's like that in Clueless.
I wonder how many girls went around America in the 90s with really bad eyesight, but they were just afraid to get glasses because they thought it made you look dumb.
Probably a lot.
Yeah.
It's quite a conceited time in movies. Like, I think about all the movies that were made, like...
Ah, Christ. For fellas, you know what I mean? Too. You weren't even... American Pie.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm not saying
was
it's
literally
not.
Vilifying lads for touching their dicks at a time when we were just allowed by society to publicly talk about, oh yeah, everyone touches their dicks for time immemorial.
Mm.
Like monkeys do it in the zoo and then toss into their hand and then flick their jizz at you through the...
That's
bars.
I think all those movies, like the movies she was in and stuff, like a lot of those, like even American Pie, I know she wasn't in it, but like all those movies are so coming
American
of age.
Pie was for boys.
Do you think that was your Clueless?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, there was a whole set of movies that were for girls that was about, like, come of age. It wasn't about, like, getting it in, getting your dick wet. It was about, like, you know, finding yourself as a person and being able to navigate intrapersonal relationships and mm-hmm. how you talk to people and how you present yourself to the public. And American Pie was like, I'm going to stick my dick in this cake. Like,
pretty much.
Do you know what I mean? Oh, dude, she's taking off her clothes and she's having a wank in my bed. And he runs, like, to the center of Blink-182, falling in his friend's garden to come over to the thing. Like,
Blink-182 are in American Pie.
Where?
Remember there's a scene where they're like looking at him. Remember there's like a thing of a video of him that went viral and they were like, oh, dude. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the video where he was streaming the sexy girl in his bed.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
and
Nadia.
There's like Blink-182 are like in one of them shots.
He runs home to the song of that as well.
Well, that's why.
Brilliant. So there that's the thing. Like they were the fella stuff, focusing on fella things, which is just like, I want to get it in. And I don't
know. It was such a typical thing for that time, wasn't it?
Yeah, like, but they don't do that shit no more.
Yeah, it's so weird. I was only thinking about that, like the scary movie stuff and all that.
Yeah.
Don't do that anymore.
Take my good hand.
Yeah, no one does that. That was so great.
Yeah.
Missed that.
I think they oversaturated. There was like disaster movie.
Yeah, that's when it started going bad.
Yeah. But for Brittany Murphy, like Clueless was her
big role.
Her big role. She was in loads after that though. But I think she got overshadowed by Alicia Silverstone and that became mm-hmm. the kind of the high watermark for her career. And she ended up being a kind of a second fiddle to a lot of these.
That was the way she was
girls.
In a lot of movies. She was great, but she kind of let everyone else take the limelight.
Is that maybe a self-deprecatory thing?
Possibly.
So possibly why she settled with the man that she ended up being married to and dying with.
I think she just liked acting. Mm. I don't think she cared too much about the fame.
She got a few bob.
Yeah, she did.
She wasn't looking for top billing. She was just like, I'm happy.
Living her life, doing what she liked.
Yeah. Tell them all about it, the conspiracy guys. Well, she starred in Freeway with Reese Witherspoon, which was another Brittany Murphy vehicle that then she ended up getting overshadowed by a yet to be legally blonde Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah.
And then the next movie for Reese, or maybe the movie after, was Legally Blonde, and she just got, do you know what I mean? Like,
it's always like she never quite got that like big thing.
You know? Then again, in Girl Interrupted, She was top billing with Winona Ryder and a fairly fresh Angelina Jolie. She hadn't been in many. Angelina Jolie was in Gaia. She was in a couple of others. But at this stage, and they gave her this role. And it was
that was heavy.
It was a supporting role.
Yeah.
Girl Interrupted is rough.
It is rough. And her storyline was rough.
Rough.
Really
she was
rough.
She was a girl suffering from an eating disorder.
Molested by her dad.
Yeah.
Who bought her food to shut her up.
Dum, dum, dum.
Yeah,
dum,
and she like used to keep drugs in her teddy bear. Yeah. That was what happened.
It was a great role.
And she was so like, when you look at her in that movie, like it's actually, you forget, like you were saying before, like how it's hard to separate people from the character.
Yes.
In that movie, I don't even see Brittany Murphy.
I think she typified herself with a lot of people who were like, oh, that's the girl that plays crazy people. And similar to Winona Ryder,
yeah.
who ended up playing those like weird, gothy, like oddball, socially awkward, very strange
that actually, when
women.
You say that, that
and
is...
then when you're like, Winona Ryder was stealing clothes from a shop and everyone was like, but that's what she does. You're like, no, dude, she needs help. There's something going on.
And that's what I think Brittany Murphy, it's so funny to look at her starring in Clueless, but then all the roles after that nearly are quite...
Dark,
yeah. Like it's
morose.
She's good at doing that kind of thing.
Psychologically disturbed, drug addled.
Which is why I always say, I'm going to say it
sexually,
again.
Sexually promiscuous.
She should have been Harley Quinn. Dark Knight Harley Quinn.
Chalk it down.
I'm telling you, Google that. Google Brittany Murphy Harley Quinn and you will come across amazing fan art of her and Heath Ledger and I am like, why didn't this happen? I'm so upset. It would have been amazing. Dark Knight.
She'd be the best kind of crazy.
Yeah, like Christopher Nolan Harley Quinn type shit. Like that would have been... I'll go to my grave upset about that.
Let's not lament too hard. I don't want you to cry on camera for that shit. for Girl Interrupted, Winona Ryder got nominated and
Angelina
Jolie
yeah.
won an Oscar for Best Supporting Actress.
Mm-hmm.
Like, supporting. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was supposed to be Brittany Murphy's joint.
I don't know if... Was Brittany ever nominated for anything? I actually don't know.
No.
That's sad.
Yeah, it's shit, man.
That's
but Angelina Jolie won that Oscar and that cemented her career as a dramatic actress and she went on to be in massive, massive movies after
yeah.
after Girl Interrupted. She was also in Drop Dead Gorgeous alongside Kirsten Dunst.
Again, love that movie.
Overshadowed
yes.
by Kirsten Dunst.
I actually
ended
forgot
up,
she was in that movie, now you say
yeah,
it.
Who ended up going on then after that to do The Virgin Suicides
mm-hmm.
and got her starring role. Like, Kirsten Dunst became a... Hollywood icon
yeah
after
and she's kind of similar
Drop
she
Dead
does kind of heavy like suicide-y
same
type
stuff.
Mental health
yeah.
stuff like she kind
and
of
and then
is
she
similar.
Lightened up a little bit with the first playing Mary Jane this
yeah.
first Spider-Man series
she did another
movies.
One called Melancholia or
Melancholia
yeah,
yeah
never
like,
seen it.
Some of those Virgin Suicides and all that stuff.
Love
and then
Virgin Suicides.
She's in Eternal. No, is it Eternal Sunshine as well?
Oh yeah, she does the rig that
yeah,
helps him go to sleep.
Some weird little character. Like she's an odd bitch. Like this.
Yeah, she is weird.
She's mad.
She is odd.
And then she's she was in that movie as well with Amy Adams and Denise Richards, two young and up and comers in the mid to late 90s. Like that's a hard cast to go up against if you're just like some girl from New Jersey.
Yeah.
You know?
She did great though. Like, in fairness, her career, like, she was steady. But like you said,
yeah.
she never had that big one. And I feel like she would have.
Probably her biggest role is I think her most unrecognized. She played Luann in King of the Hill.
Yes.
For the entire run of the season. That's the shit that bought her house.
Yeah.
Her
I'd say
her
that
million,
was her biggest
million
her, like,
dollars
said,
mansion.
Yeah.
Like, she was the voice of Luann. So well acted. If you've ever watched
yeah.
King of the Hill, like, some of that stuff is like, Bobby, I'm gonna get the protein. like that stuff is funny, and there's little bits like,
she was great.
It's darkly funny, but like some of the stuff with the granddad, some of the stuff, Luann's thing, like some of Bobby's storylines, like King of the Hill was grim and dark,
it was,
too,
yeah,
but hilarious.
And
she
good
did that
comedy.
So well.
The thing about Brittany as well is
so
like that,
well.
King, like you said, most unrecognized, if not most popular role, but like she had such range, like she was
yeah.
good at serious, and her comedy was great. She did
Whopper.
She had such good comedy. Like, I don't know. I'm just so sad that she was so underappreciated.
I think the fact that her biggest role was largely unrecognized as her is typical of her career. Like,
I wonder though, is that like a blessing and a curse? Because if you like are a really big voice, like if you were like on King of the Hill, and people know you, but not really, so you can kind of live somewhat of a normal life.
Yeah.
But she had a weird fame where she was famous. But like
not getting the recognition. Yeah
it was
annoying.
Such a, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a mad story. Like her whole life even just reading through this, I'm just like, God, you just forget all the great things she was in sometimes until someone points it out to you.
Well, this is just the 90s. Yeah. In the 2000s, then they were a little bit kinder and giving her these leading roles. But she still couldn't get that breakout hit. She was in Don't Say a Word with Michael Douglas. Amazing. Which is fucking unreal.
That's where all the Harley Quinn edits come from, yeah, by the way. Because she's all in an asylum and shit.
Rolling around in the bed being
great.
Like... You'll never great. Know.
Great
like,
movie. So underrated.
So underrated.
Such a good
Michael
film.
Michael Douglas is a mad content.
It's like a good suspenseful thriller.
Yeah, yeah.
It's great.
A lot of like crazy bed hair. A lot of like smudgy eye makeup.
A lot of rocking back and forth. Weird hands.
And she played mental illness so well and so convincingly that I think after she died, people were like, oh yeah, it must have been from all the mental illness. And they're like, they were movies.
Yeah.
She wasn't actually sick like that way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how good of an actress she was that everyone thought that was her life.
I think you are a good actor when it is hard to separate you, I think. Because you've convinced people of the role so much so.
I'm not in a Daniel Day-Lewis sort of way where you actually lived the thing and then you had to go off and be a cobbler in Italy for a few years to shake the character off. Like, that's what he had to do.
Smart.
Val Kilmer ended up having to go to therapy to get rid of the Jim Morrison persona from The Doors in 1991. But like Brittany Murphy, just go in and be a mental patient for like a day and then go out and go, okay, who's going for drinks, guys? Like, and be totally like, fine then.
I do think all actors are slightly mental.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have to be to get so into that. Like, even they said about Heath Ledger, like, that he never turned off the character, and like just other things where you just have to stay in that. So like, I feel like even if you dip your toe into that pool like she did, I don't know if she was always the character on set or whatever. I don't know, like, there's very little information about her as an actor. That's what's weird, like, you always hear these set stories but like never hear anything about Brittany Murphy. It's weird, but you have to kind of go so, yeah, it's a conspiracy, but maybe you have to go a little bit crazy to play those kind of roles. Like Angelina Jolie, even in Girl Interrupted.
I think you have to be a little bit crazy to create anything. Like
YouTube
and podcasting too.
Here we are.
Like, to be honest, we're here in a room.
Talking
to each other, but also to ourselves.
Yeah.
Knowing that people will listen to it at some point in the future, but...
Hopefully.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, I gotcha. Any kind of creative thing, you kind of have to be a bit...
touched.
Yeah.
And not in the Harvey Weinstein way. She was in Don't Say a Word. Cracker. You gotta watch that shit.
10 out of 10.
I'm gonna leave links, IMDb or Tracked TV links for all of these movies that she was in, so you can have a look at them yourselves. Mwah. Like, there's not like a Brittany Murphy movie, you know?
No.
She was also in 8 Mile, which was a great performance in an okay movie.
Like, yeah,
8
weird,
Mile is good.
She's the only reason I watched that movie.
Exactly. When it was new, I was like, Mom, spaghetti. You know, like, you're watching that shit at the time, and Eminem was huge, and you're like, this is cool. It's kind of autobiographical, but it's also not. I like this. Eminem's a good actor. Mm-hmm. And then, like, it didn't age well.
Yeah.
But her performance in it.
And their chemistry was very good in that movie.
Good.
Like, that's a funny thing. Like, that was his first movie, and, like, she was big for the time, for that movie especially. And her in it, I was like, it's gonna be weird. But when I seen it, I was like, wow, pretty good.
I was surprised she was cast.
Yeah.
I was like, why would she do this? Yeah.
Yeah, because she was in Oscar winning movies.
I think it was like, it could have been an opportunity for a fresh young starlet to make her name.
Yeah, maybe she was like, finally a role where I'm not like completely, I know she supported him, but like she was quite a big character in the movie. You know what I mean? Like, she was a big character in the movie.
Yeah, big time. She was also in Uptown Girls with Dakota Fanning.
One of my faves.
I've never seen it, but everything that I've read online, Dakota Fanning totally upstages her.
No. I tried to buy that dress that she wore in that movie, the 21st birthday dress. They sold it on eBay. Someone had it, and like, I don't know if it was like a movie prop or something, but they were trying to sell it on eBay, and it didn't even sell for like loads of money. And I was like, oh fuck, could I want that?
It's only called it a couple hundred dollars.
I can't remember it. I'd say it sold for a couple of thousand, but like, for what it was, if you're a big fan, like, it's a pretty great prop. Like, you know the dress I'm talking about.
I've watched the clips from Up to a Girl, like the trailer or whatever. She's like Dakota Fanning's babysitter, and they form a...
She's like a free spirit, and Dakota Fanning is like an OCD germaphobe rich kid who hates her because she's such a free spirit, and she's all like
7 or 8, and
that's a... And
Brittany
even,
Murphy's like, oh, it's totally cool, man. It's
but
fine.
That movie's great because it's such a interesting dynamic in the fact that she's the young, carefree older person, and Dakota Fanning is the young, high strung, and they both teach each other. She's like, grow up, be an adult, and she's like, have fun, be a kid.
Yeah.
And they're having this like dynamic, and there's a really good scene in that movie that I won't ruin for you, where they're in like it's like a, it's not a teacup. It's one of those things that you twist and you go around in circles. And
at the fair.
Yeah. And that's deep.
Oh, and the quarter finally gets sick in the bin.
Yeah.
And then boxes the head off Brittany Murphy.
Yeah. But it's like a deep moment.
Yeah.
They're like, I like, even though like that's like a naughty kind of girl chick flick movie, like she still always had an element of something meaningful.
She wouldn't take on the project unless it meant something.
Exactly. And there's a movie she did, and no, I don't know anyone else who's ever watched this movie, and it's called Ramen Girl.
Oh yeah, Ramen Girl. Did you watch it? 2007, 2006.
Maybe. No, did you watch it?
No.
I really love that. I watched that movie. Like when
I've seen the list of all of these movies. She's in like 40 movies, man.
I never, but no one knows that movie.
Some of the ones towards the end ended up being like straight to DVD jobs.
Yeah.
And Ramen Girl was one of them.
Well, Ramen Girl, I remember, I have that on DVD.
There's another one called Noodle Girl. Did you know? And there's another one called like Wonton Girl.
Cultural appropriation here. Yeah. But like, I remember.
Your lunchtime is not, your culture is not my lunchtime.
Actually, cultural appropriation would be a big thing for Ramen Girl if people watched it. They'd be like, no.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, because like it's basically about her being in Japan and she sees this ramen shop. She has a really bad fight with her boyfriend. She sees this ramen shop and she goes over and the food's comforting and she's like, I want to make ramen. So she tries to get like lessons from this really like kind of angry Japanese guy.
Also, it's like the Karate Kid.
Kind of, yeah. It's kind of like ramen. Yeah, a ramen Karate Kid. That's literally what it is. That's literally what it is. And like, I don't know what it is about that movie, but when I'm sad, I put that movie on and I'm so comforted.
Yeah.
It does something for me. I don't know what it is.
It's eating like ramen, watching the Ramen Girl.
It makes me really want ramen, so just prepare yourself.
Yeah, I'm starving now. I guess so. She's also then in a movie that got commercial success, if a bit schmaltzy, maybe not to her usual high drama standard, but it definitely tickled her funny bone. Just Married with Ashton Kutcher.
Oh my God, I love that movie so much.
I've seen it. I'm like, yeah.
I wore that fine. Like DVD out. Like, right. I was obsessed. Right. That was like my big thing. Like, I was obsessed with that movie. Love Brittany Murphy, I could quote it word for word.
Oh shit!
And it's so funny. Like, and that.
But there seemed like it was a load of those like odd couple type movies coming out like 2004 and 2005.
I feel like that movie shows her comedic ability.
Yeah.
Like, other than King of the Hill, Just Married shows her really able to be funny. And just to be so likable.
Mm.
And it's so good. And the dynamic between her and Ashton Kutcher, like, I was furious when he got with Demi Moore.
Yeah.
I'm like, why not Brittany? You're so perfect together.
Maybe she was a bit mental. That's probably what I would have thought.
Yeah, probably.
At the time.
She's probably an intense girlfriend.
Yeah.
But like.
But she seemed to fall in love with anybody she was opposite in a movie. She went out with Eminem for a while.
Is that true though?
Yeah, she said in interviews, yeah, on Letterman and all.
I never knew if that was true.
She didn't admit to be like, yes, his penis went in my vagina, but she was like, yeah, well, I mean, for, you know, we were together for a minute, like, you know, a minute's all it takes.
I think that happens though, like if you're filming a movie with someone for months,
of course,
like it's easy you're to hanging out. There's,
like, movies are mostly waiting around.
Yeah, so you're just
chilling, chatting, having the crack.
And I think that's
looking into each other's eyes, practicing shifting scenes and all.
I really, you always get the vibe from Brittany Murphy too, like even in her comedic roles. She just wants to be loved.
Yeah.
That's a vibe I always got from her.
It's a need, a want. So she's in a load of other stuff then. She's in, she plays a hooker with a heart of gold in Sin City, Shelley. Pretty rough role. She's on the ground like, you fucking move and I cut off your little pecker, like this kind of stuff. Like she's decent, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was starting to get critical acclaim for her comedic timing and dramatic acting ability for these movies. Looking at Roger Ebert, like, who was like, ah yeah, this bitch is bleh. And then after a while he was like, whoa, girl's got skills.
Mm-hmm.
And it changed, you know, that the time was starting to flip on her. She did Spun in 2002, which
I love those kind of movies.
Brilliant.
She plays. It's about meth. Yeah,
and it's like Crash, or it's like Go. If you ever watched those
mm-hmm.
movies that came out around that time, I think Go was 1999.
God, Go was great, wasn't it?
Great movie.
I missed that movie.
And there's loads of those kind of films that just have one word titles. That's nothing about the movie,
mm-hmm.
and you're just like, I don't even know what this is about.
Look up the trailer for Spun. It's like Spun wild.
Is fucking crazy. It has like Jason Schwartzman. There's loads of people in it, and it's like
an intense movie.
She is crazy in that movie.
She's great.
Crazy, like untenably mentally mm-hmm. insane.
I want and everyone to go through her biography and just be like, "Damn, Brittany."
She like Spun showed her full range from like mm-hmm. you know all the emotions. She played a crackhead, and it just. Like really got into it,
mm-hmm.
so much so that people thought, "Oh yeah, man, she's mad on crack." And that was the rumor that went around. We'll find out in a second after she dies. Like, everyone's like, yeah, she died from drugs. She also had a great singing voice and sang on some contemporary records like songs for Paul Oakenfold. She had her whole musical career. And in 2006, she starred as Gloria in the musical animation Happy Feet.
Yeah, that was a big one.
Yeah.
That was actually quite a big movie at the time.
Huge movie. Happy Feet was massive.
And she sang a song on it, didn't she?
She sang her own and she sang in chorus as well.
I never seen it, to be honest, but...
Never seen Happy Feet?
No, I never seen it.
Well, that's one to watch after Ramen Girl.
Oh, God.
That's really good.
I'll definitely be crying.
It's about the penguins, like, that's how they get their mate. They sing songs. So
I have seen clips of her, like, because I will watch Angie's on, like, but I have never seen that. But I've watched clips of her singing in the studio,
yeah,
doing the songs.
Oh, it's good, man. The Happy Feet is a great little jape.
I think I'd like it.
You to find your, you know, the penguins made for life, so you have to sing a song, and then the other person's like, hey, I like that song, and then they sing theirs, and you sing yours together, and then they do little dances.
It sounds so heartwarming, even so just talking about it.
So there's one guy who can't sing, so he can't find love, and he's only able to dance. But when he dances, he's all like Fred Astaire, like. So Gloria's all like, you know, singing her thing, and then he's like, oh, I fancy you, and he can't sing, and they're all like, ugh, but he's like, and he starts dancing to her song, and then they fall in love.
How cute.
But with the Happy Feet sequel, because there was rumors of her doing drugs for no reason, they cut her out of it, so she wasn't allowed to be in the sequel of it. How fucking annoying is that? From rumors that are absolutely baseless, that she didn't do any drugs, which you think she would do, but she wasn't doing. They were just like, nah, she's on coke. There's bad juju around Brittany Murphy.
And yeah, like, Lindsay Lohan was still being hired and like not showing up and shit.
They were blowing coke up her arse with a fucking leaf blower. Like,
it's crazy. I never knew that about Happy Feet 2.
Yeah.
I didn't even know there was a sequel.
There was Happy Feet 2, yeah.
Probably didn't give a shit because Britney wasn't in it.
Happy Feet 2, The Extra Toe. It was pretty, no, it's not the name, but it's pretty. You should watch the first one. It's a good little, if you have little cousins or something, like, get onto it.
I don't need little cousins, I'll watch that. I love Pixar and all that kind of thing.
I'm just trying to give you an out. At this time, she was, like, just before that, she was losing out on roles. Like, in the 2008 movie Tinkerbell, she lost out. She also lost out the Janis Joplin biopic.
Oh my God, that would have been great.
Yeah, there's clips of her doing the Under the Light thing, like singing
really?
Some Big Brother.
Oh, I need to see that.
And the Holding Company.
I'd love to see her audition tapes.
There is a full audition tape on YouTube of the whole thing, and she's like,
oh my God, send that to me.
She's singing the songs, Janis Joplin songs.
Was she good?
But because of, just brilliant, but because of copyright stuff that they couldn't do it. And in 30 Rock, they made a joke about it because they were making this biopic and they had loads of actresses to play it.
Mm.
And the blondie one, Jane Krasinski from 30 Rock, who played Jenna.
Yeah.
She was also doing the Janis Joplin.
It's kind of like a Bob Dylan thing. Didn't they do a Bob Dylan one like that where they had like loads of people playing him?
No, this is a thing where Jane Krasinski as Jenna in 30 Rock wanted to be wanted to make her own Janis Joplin biopic.
Oh, okay.
And she called it because of copyright issues, making fun of the thing that was actually happening in real life. And she had to call hers like the life of Janie Jimplin. And she was going around like, hey man, with the circles and all the circly glasses and everything.
That could have been the movie that would have made Britney really big if she got
it. That's an Oscar winner. Like,
yeah, it would have been.
And they still haven't done a Janis biopic really yet, like a proper one. They're talking about doing a Jimi Hendrix one, and it was supposed to be Donald Glover playing Jimmy.
Oh, that'd
like,
be cool, wouldn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, loads of fucking like icons that haven't had their biopic yet.
So she
lost out to that one, but there is an audition tip you can look at online. And she was also dropped from a major role in the new Expendables movie, in the first one, which would have been huge because that was huge.
Mm-hmm. She liked the girl that Sylvester Stallone is like hanging out with. Okay.
So she lost out, man, on all of these ones. And rumors of drugs, eating disorders, all this kind of like bad
behavior.
She did
lose a lot of weight randomly though. Do you not remember that?
But randomly or...
Well, not randomly,
like,
but
careerly.
You know. Yeah.
Is that
it's probably more of like, I'm in Hollywood, I have to lose weight.
Yeah, when everyone's saying to you, come here, do you know the way you're kind of a little bit of a chubster in
Clueless?
Like you look normal. Mm. We can't look normal around here. Some people also said that she was so aware of her image and how her body worked that being thinner makes you look taller. So if you have like super thin arms, when they're taking pictures of you on the red carpet, they have to like duck down a little bit to get you in the right frame, which boosts you up. But if you have like arms and leg, you're putting your leg out, and if you have like little dumpy legs, that you look shorter in pictures next to other people. So she'd usually get out on her own, away from anyone else, and she suck her cheeks.
That was quite a 90s thing too. Like, I know that a lot of her career was nice, but there's even a photograph of her after Girl Interrupted with Winona and Angelina Jolie. It's like, not it's kind of a famous photo, I guess, if you're a fan. But like,
they're all, arms around each other and all.
I think so, yeah. And they're all kind of together, just like being pals. But like, they're all so ridiculously thin. Like, when you actually look at it, you're like, yeah, you're like, Jesus. Like, what? You know, even in the movie, they weren't like that.
Angelina Jolie now.
She's like, very thin, but she had a lot of health issues though.
Yeah, but at the same time also, I'd say some of that was psychological too.
Oh yeah, totally.
She's got some sort of eating disorder.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't doubt that, yeah.
You know?
But it's just very hard to be in Hollywood and not have an eating disorder.
Oh man, it's hard to be anywhere and try and look at yourself and go like, yep, I'm totally happy with that.
Yeah.
You know, like we said, having a head. Shauna Speaks, check it out. she was all these rumors about eating disorders and all this kind of stuff, and they were just making shit up, man. TMZ were just flicking themselves off to any little thing that Brittany Murphy would do or say, and they were starting to, you know, she was starting to pick up, like, large studios were starting to pick up, like Disney and Universal. We're kind of getting on these news stories going like, shit, man, there's fucking too many rumors of drugs, whether they're real or not. We're going to have to take her off these lists. You know, she wasn't getting her options for the movies. They were taking her off stuff going like, sorry, Brittany, man, you got too much bad press around you, man. You have to be less crazy. And she's like, motherfucker, I play crazy in the movies. Mm. That's why people think I'm so good that people think I'm like this in real life.
I find it funny, though, because like that was the time of the like Lindsay Lohan... Lindsay Lohan would have started going on her spiral not long after that, and then.
But
like,
in public, she wasn't like that. She was she was crazy in public, and shit on the screen.
True.
Do you know? She was a good girl on the screen,
bad girl in real life,
and a bad girl in real life. The other way around,
kind of opposite, yeah.
And people love to watch a disaster. They love to watch a car crash.
That's true.
Do you know? You didn't see any pictures of Brittany Murphy falling out of a nightclub.
No, she was very. I'd say she was a mad recluse.
Yeah.
From what I can gather, like she
That's what she was. She used to go to her Hollywood Hills house,
never leave it,
and just stay there, reading, play music. Now the funny thing is, people would go on and say, you can't hire Brittany Murphy because she's on drugs. She actually couldn't do drugs. She had a heart condition from a very young age, that meant even a small amount of cocaine or other stimulants would more than likely kill her or lead to complications in her arrhythmia.
Well, funnily enough, when I was watching the Lifetime documentary, according to the post-mortem they did on her after she died, they said that the heart murmur was a lie.
Her mother claimed that it was true.
Yeah, but then in the post-mortem they said like it didn't seem like she had anything wrong with her heart.
Well, now.
So that was a weird thing, and that's why I was like, conspiracy.
Maybe she was doing drugs.
So yeah, that was a weird thing, because she was trying to say like, oh, the reason why I have to take this is for that. Yada, yada.
There you go. Well, Brittany would fall for the man she starred alongside in all these films. She starred alongside Ashton Kutcher, Eminem, and, you know, not to her fault or anything. Like, they're spending a lot of time together. And the fact that she was linked with these men and then she started changing her image, especially since 8 Mile, which a lot of people saw. And they saw her playing, like, this bad girl who didn't really give a fuck. And she was, like, cheating on lads and doing drugs. And she changed her hair from brown to blonde and kind of put on that dirty makeup and became this kind of slutty, like, sewer rat kind of chick.
She's kind of grungy, wasn't she? She's kind of grunge icon, if you will, like, fashion icon.
And people jumped on that. They were like, this is the way she is in real life. Losing loads of weight, this eating disorder thing. Like, Hollywood is hard.
Oh, yeah.
Why wouldn't you just lay her off with losing a few pounds? Look at, like, you know, Renee Zellweger.
God, yeah, I didn't even recognize her in that picture that time when it came out. I was like, who's that?
Like, was she got her eyes done and
yeah,
all
her face, because she used to have quite a distinct puffy cheek thing going
puff
on.
Cheeks.
Yeah, and then it was just completely gone. And I'm like, oh, it doesn't even look like you anymore.
No, the eyes completely changed.
Yeah.
But she was also, like, you know, a little bit kind of chubbier in Bridget Jones. Yeah. Because they forced her to put on weight because she'd look more like a normal English woman.
Yeah.
They said, like, oh, yeah, you need to chub up a bit.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
That they made her do that.
So, like, Brittany Murphy was obviously playing people who were drug addled, who were
so she
in
had to be
mental
skinny.
Asylums.
Like, weirdly.
It didn't hurt.
Yeah, it didn't hurt for her to get that way.
She wasn't playing, like, the sexy, voluptuous love interest in any of these movies. She was playing, like, the crazy girlfriend who fucking cook your pet or whatever.
Psychologically disturbed.
I think that definitely fed into the tale of what happened as she died, and we talk about that in a sec. Britney was, she was herself personally beginning to become disillusioned with Hollywood, and it's known that, like we said, she'd often retreat up to her mansion in the Hollywood Hills, hide away from the hustle and bustle, say not to no one, read books. Another reason why she wasn't out partying is because she was at home taking care of her mother, who had neuropathy from surviving breast cancer and the treatment. So she had like nerve damage, like the startings of, you know, nervous conditions like ALS or something. Like
her dynamic with her mother was weird. They were very dependent on one another. I think she was so dependent on her mother, and she was so dependent on Britney that Britney literally just stayed at home.
Had to stay at home.
Yeah, like it was just
forced to stay at home. And then she ended up getting married to this English man called Simon Monjack, who himself was also very ill, and he had been suffering from seizures. And after she met him, he recently suffered a heart attack.
Yeah.
Like she got with him and then he suffered a heart attack. She's like, bollocks.
And maybe that's one of the reasons why her career never took off, because she was so busy
just minding people, minding
everyone else. Yeah.
And she had a big mansion. She was the primary caregiver, and her career wasn't developing the way she'd imagined. And then, like, obviously his constant threat of seizures made it difficult for her to accept work. And like, it meant time away from home then. Mm. So if you took on a job, you could be away 4 or 5 months filming. That means your neuropathic mother and your seizure-ridden, heart attack husband slash boyfriend are on their own in your big $3.6 million mansion. Yeah.
It's a lot of stress. It kind of makes sense when you think about how thin she was. Like, the stress she must have been under.
Yeah, as well.
At the same time with that.
Yeah, it's fucked, man. So, Britney, like, from her last interview, she was making shapes to get out of LA, and she wanted to get out of that house. So she bought this house 6 years before she died from Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake, if you believe it.
Rando.
They bought that together and then sold it to her. And she thought it was bad luck. Now, it had loads of building code violations and loads of stuff wrong with it, including possibly some poisonous mold.
That was something that came up in the documentary too, that I watched.
Big time.
Yeah.
It could have been one of the reasons she croaked it. But she just thought, but Britney thought it was just bad luck. And she was often talking in public of plans to move to New York. And said in 2010 she wants to be living in New York with her husband Simon. And she wanted to start a family, have a baby and do all that. Like, Lord of mercy, she died late 2009. The house was almost cursed. The electricity was going out the whole time. And they couldn't have any candles, or they couldn't have any incandescent flames. They couldn't light any fires. The heating wouldn't work. The reason they couldn't light any fires is because of this pure oxygen machine that Simon Monjack needed the whole time, because it was like for sleep apnea. So
such a weird thing to live in a house that's so like crap, but you're like in a mansion.
It's a multi-million dollar mansion that had heating broke, the electricity broke. So every night in that house was lived by torchlight, by electric torchlight.
So weird.
With no heating on.
So weird.
Like,
it does kind of feel like that house is cursed.
That's like living, it's like living in the Saw house. Like, you have to go around with a torch, like lamps on your head. You couldn't enjoy having like ambient lighting on, and you could decorate the shit out of it, but for half the day you couldn't see the fucking place.
It's crazy.
Like, that's really, like, that must be just disheartening.
Yeah.
You're just like, fuck this.
Yeah. All this money and I can't even
get a house. And at any moment you're massively overweight, you know, seizure ridden husband could just like fall down in the dark and start having a fit.
It all makes sense when you actually consider her life and like what she was dealing with. Like, in a way, it makes sense why she was the way she was. In a way, she was dependent. I think she was dependent on them too. They were comfortable for her to be around.
Mm.
You know.
Yeah, she was a bit of a disaster, and so was he.
This
I'm sure.
Very...
I'm sure he. We'll talk about him in a second. I'm sure he was. I guess he benefited more than she did. Let's say. You know.
Good for him and his profile.
So here we go to the debt, right? Lord of mercy. On December 20th, 2009, the LA Fire Department came to the Monjack home where both Britney and Simon lived, and they found that she collapsed in the bathroom. Now, her mother had made a frantic 911 call, and it's harrowing and quite
confusing.
I've
heard that phone call.
Have you heard it
all? Have you heard it?
Yeah, and it's
odd. I was bawling listening to that.
It's odd.
Like, loads of people in the comments were like talking about
it. Should I put it in the show? I'll find it and slap it in here, will I?
It's horrible. I'm just warning you guys. It's like really depressing.
Okay, I hadn't planned on this, but we're going to just drop it in here to the show so you can listen to it. You listen to it right now.
Fire Department 97, what's the address of the emergency?
1895 Rising Glen Road.
What's the phone number you're calling from? Tell me exactly what happened.
Oh, somebody's passed out.
Somebody what?
My daughter's passed out. They're doing mouth to mouth. Please get here quick,
okay.
Please.
Okay. All right, we're going to. How old is your daughter?
She's 30. Please help.
She's 30.
Next to her mouth.
Can you feel or hear any breathing?
I can feel or hear any breathing.
breathing?
Could you hear anything, Simon?
Yes or no?
Yes or no? No!
Okay, all right, listen to me carefully. I'm going to tell you how to do compressions, okay?
Brittany, please come back!
Ma'am? Is he still pumping on her chest?
Yes.
Okay, he needs to continue, okay?
He is.
Did anybody see what happened?
Oh, yeah, I do. Please,
ma'am? Ma'am? Did anybody see what happened?
She was dizzy. She couldn't walk right. She's had a cold. Oh, my God.
Is she taking any kind of medications at all?
What?
Is she taking
no
medications,
no.
Nothing?
Yeah, that's weird, isn't it?
It really upset me. It's just such a weird... I hate... Like, 911 phone calls. Like, I always wonder, how does that get out there?
At the start, she called in. Then? She called in and was like, hello, hello? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it was weird.
Hello, what the fuck? And then at the end, she's like, oh my God. Okay, is that it?
And then she's like...
Is there somebody compressing? I'm going to teach you how to do compressions. And she's like, forget about it. It's too late.
It's such a weird... Like, when you listen to it first... When I first listened to it, I was obviously just noticeably like...
Shocked. Yeah, obviously.
And then when I thought about it and I read the comments, people were like, that's weird. And I was like...
weird.
And I was listening to it back and I was like, yeah, it is kind of weird. Like, you know, when you actually hear, like, if that were you, you could imagine that you'd be, oh my God, hello, oh my God, you'd be like freaking out.
I rang 999, like, and you don't know what. Would you believe this shit? One Valentine's Day, I was walking across O'Connell Bridge and I saw a fella walking opposite me, and the place was packed, like five abreast on the street, jammed. And I was going down buying a little thing for Claire for Valentine's Day. I was just about to go home. It's like 10 to 5 in the afternoon, maybe half 4. And it was this guy next to a stand, you know, the stand that sells the badges and t-shirts on the Bridge. And he just put his hand on the wall and threw his leg over the wall, and he sat on the top of the bridge.
Fuck.
And he just breathed in and then just leaned over and pushed himself off into the river.
Stop.
And I looked around and everyone was mad hustle and bustle.
No,
like, loads
shit.
Of people, and nobody noticed.
Fuck.
Nobody noticed, right? And I went, oh shit. And I took out my phone and I started ringing. And I rang like, 999.
Yeah.
And I rang and I was like, hello, emergency services. And I'm like, how's it going? Come here, listen, I'm on O'Connell Bridge. There's a fella after jumping over and he's gone into the river. Now I'm at O'Connell Bridge at the thing, blah, blah, blah. And for about 40 seconds, she went, okay, what do you need? Police, fire, or ambulance? And I'm like, whichever one of these motherfuckers is going to come and take him out of the river. How about send one of them?
Yeah.
So they sent police and the fire brigade.
Fuck.
And they pulled him out alive, like maybe...
And how long was it between
yards.
When you were called and when they came?
Like 3 minutes.
I rang the police from...
Like enough to die.
Ireland to Manchester for someone who was suicidal.
Wow.
That was fucking scary because they were like, why are you calling from Ireland? I was like, my friend.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It was, and like I was on edge because I didn't know what was happening or...
If it would make a difference.
Yeah. I was like, oh, fuck. Have I done the right thing? I don't know. Like, it's weird.
Yeah.
You don't know what to do.
But to be the only person... And then when I walked around to try and find, like, did they pull him out? Was he still alive or whatever? And then as I got back up to the bridge, there was one other girl who saw him from the other side of the bridge.
Mm.
And she saw me, like, and I'm like, bleh, freaking out on Valentine's Day on the bridge, like waving my arms. And everyone was like, this guy's crazy. I'm like, some conscious jumped in the
fucking river. Don't give a shit. I saw a man flat on his face on O'Connell Street. It was the middle of the night. And it was,
O'Connell Street is like the main street in Dublin, by the way.
And he was like an old man and he was on his like front. And I was like, this man has had a heart attack and everyone's just fucking walking by him. And I was thinking
he's just a drunk or
something. And I was with my friend and I was like, I stopped and everyone kept walking. And I was like, oh my God. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know whether to go over to him like or touch him or whatever. And I took out my phone and I started ringing the police. And she's like, why are you ringing the police? I was like, there's a man on the street. Like, what if that was you or me? Like, or your father or anyone? And like, I started calling them. But as I was calling them, the police drove by and they stopped. But I was like, no one gave a shit.
Yeah, that's what happens these days.
But when that happens to you, I think our point is, you're frantic.
Yeah, frantic.
You're like, blah, 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 blah. You're like a million miles a minute.
I didn't know what to do. This Sharon seemed upset.
Yeah.
You know, justifiably. But then like very calm, very quickly, as if it was a put on.
It was weird. It's a strange thing. And that adds to the conspiracy for sure.
Well, big time. Big time. So there was attempts then to resuscitate her, but she was gone for too long and she died after going into cardiac arrest and was pronounced dead there. As the coroner said that the death seemed to be of natural causes and rumours of drug abuse abound in the media. They were like, Brittany Murphy's dead. Ah, yes, probably drugs. Apparently, she never did drugs.
The one thing I heard, I remember when she died, now that I think about it, pneumonia was like the thing they kept saying. And I'm like, I feel like that's what they say when they don't know what to say. They're like, pneumonia.
She died from lack of breath.
Yeah.
You know, what the fuck do you say? But the drug abuse rumor persisted even without any evidence. Like, just zero evidence of this.
She died in the shower, isn't that correct?
She fell over in the bathroom, yeah. And the autopsy officially shows the death to be pneumonia with secondary factors of an iron deficiency and anemia, along with multiple prescription drugs in her system. Now, as the autopsies went on, that was the first one. A report later was released that showed Brittany was on a range of over-the-counter medications along with some heavier prescriptions as well, but all were taken by her in an effort to cure a persistent cold that she was suffering from. So she had the symptoms of a cold, you know, sniffles, brutal cough, a lot of sickness, a lot of fever. And all the drugs that she were on were legal. And they include hydrocodone, which is for pain relief, acetaminophen, which is paracetamol, known as APAP for pain and fever, L-methamphetamine, which is a nasal decongestant. So it was like you spray it up your nose and it kind of tightens up your snot box. And then chlorphenamine, which is an antihistamine for rhinitis. So she had like a consistent, you know, snotty nose. I mean, the pain relief tablets, they could have also been to ease the pain from a car crash that she'd had years ago and injured her jaw. So she had this persistent temporomandibular jaw injury. She never learned to drive in her whole life. She was in the passenger in a car and she got in a crash in the late 90s after filming Clueless.
Yes, that's true.
And fucked up her jaw. TMJ she had.
That was never really spoken about.
No.
It's weird.
And she was on painkillers for that intermittently for a long time, but not any of these fucking mad, you know,
and I heard
morphine
that she,
or oxycodone or anything.
In the documentary that I watched, the Lifetime movie about her, they were showing that like she was sick for several days before, and it was like,
oh, she's sick for 6 weeks before,
but it was apparently like very bad.
Yeah,
and I'm
very
like
bad.
Why the hell didn't they bring her to a hospital?
They never did. She was dying of this sickness for 6 weeks and no one ever brought her. And this kind of leads into this gradual poisoning kind of a narrative, and also into a potentially, I guess, naturally poisoned or naturally contaminated household that was slowly killing her from mold and from other stuff. And I even went in and found some of the things from the autopsy and looked into where they could have come from. And we talk about them before the end.
Is there actual autopsy photos?
Not photos, but like the information about the materials that were found in her.
And they also said that she had been filming a movie and she might have got like a disease or something.
Yeah, Puerto Rico.
Yeah, so I heard about that too. And I was like, why did you go to the hospital regardless of any of this? Like, it's such an odd thing if you thought you might have contracted something.
Maybe her husband is keeping her back for some reason.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And a lot of the documentary was speaking about how it was a weird dynamic between like a triangle of her and her husband, but her mother lived with them, and it was like a weird...
lived now and again.
Yeah, it was like a
in a house with no electricity and often no heating. Sounds like some Grey Gardens shit, right?
It's strange.
Well, she also had Klonopin, which is an anti-seizure drug. She was taking that. It's a muscle relaxant. It's great if you can get it, but you wouldn't want to take too much of it because then you forget how to swallow and your heart just goes, fuck it, and just stops. If you're not on it. Klonopin was obviously for Simon Monjak, who was suffering from seizures the whole time. She was also on Prozac. Have you ever taken Prozac?
No.
It makes you feel like nothing. It's terrible. But also if you feel awful, it makes you feel like nothing, which is probably better. And then methylprednisolone, which is an anti-inflammatory, but a really strong one that's usually administered in hospitals for people who have, like an inflamed liver that needs to be operated on immediately or an inflamed organ. They give you this and the swelling goes away, and then they can operate quite quickly and get out what needs to be got out instead of giving you antibiotics and wait for the infection to go down. She was also suffering from irregular periods, and she was on a particularly long and heavy flow.
That could be from her weight.
It could be.
Yeah.
Or it could be a condition that she was suffering from because of all of these drugs combined. Yeah. And she was basically bleeding like an abattoir, which could have worsened the anemia and weakened her system further. I mean, we all know when we just feel a little bit washed out, children, don't we?
I know.
It's just weak and just like,
not well. Just need a blankie. And I'll watch Ramen Girl and feel better. Just
make me feel better.
Feel better.
So, other more insidious reports of doctor shopping came forward after her death, with pharmacists reporting Brittany and Simon buying these undue amounts of prescription and over-the-counter drugs in her name, as well as his name, as well as Sharon, Brittany's mother's name, and as well as Brittany's alias, Lola Manilow.
Well, I heard about that when I was watching the documentary, and apparently the chemist they were going to was like a family friend, so he was kind of lenient Banca, in what he gave to them.
Eric Banca. Was the guy's name?
Yeah. And I remember they say, like, he was kind of like,
as far as I remember,
he was just kind of like giving them what they wanted, essentially.
He was, up to a point, and then when he looked at the report of how much drugs she was taking, because she hadn't been to him for a while, and then he went, oh, you're still on this amount? Yeah. And how come you haven't been with me for ages? And then he went to ask him questions, and then he found out, he went, ah, no.
They were going to several places.
Doctor shopping, yeah. Going around to different doctors, getting different diagnoses. Yeah. You get different diagnoses and you get more of whatever you need. Now, I've never heard of anyone being addicted to anti-inflammatories, but if you're addicted to hydrocodone, sure. Like, if you're an acetaminophen, like, that's a paracetamol. It's strong paracetamol. It's not going to get you high. Hydrocodone doesn't get you high because it's part of the hydro part. Like oxy is the part that's like, you can have OxyContin, which is quick release, or oxycodone, which is long release. Hydrocodone goes into the nervous system. So it's not even something that you feel. It's not a thing you feel. It doesn't go through your liver the same way. And then chlorphenamine is an antihistamine. So it might get you a little bit drowsy or sleepy for a while. But it's not enough to, like, if you've taken Zyrtec, have you ever taken
like nothing.
Any allergy medication, like
sometimes I take
Pyritin or a Zyrtec or something like that.
Antihistamine.
Yeah.
That's about it.
So antihistamine, you take two of them if you get a bit swollen up and then you feel a bit like, it's a bit sleepy. Like, that's as much as you're going
to
get.
It seems like she was medicating to genuinely heal a pain.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't just like, I'm just going to take this. I think she was trying to figure out what worked for her.
But why doctor shop for over-the-counter stuff? Do you know what I mean?
Well, I know people myself who, at any opportunity, will take medication. Like, oh, my baby finger hurts, and they'll just take it. So I feel like she was probably excused when someone, like, you know, she'd be like, oh, I want to take this. And her mother was like, oh, yeah, I'll get it for you. Because her mom was probably like a pill addict herself.
Yeah, but can't, like, it's not like somebody hurt their toe and they're like, toe, get me loads of OxyContin because I have a sore toe, and then you just keep on filling up your thing of OxyContin. Like, that's understandable. That's hillbilly heroin, right? But to be on paracetamol, antihistamines, and maybe a bit of Prozac, which you don't really get addicted to Prozac, or Klonopin, which is a muscle relaxant. I can see Klonopin getting addicted to that, maybe, but like, those trace amounts of it found, and obviously she's just like, oh, come here, give us one of your fucking no shake tablets there, Simon. Of a long night.
There's a lot there's a lot of weird, like,
so many medications, and the death is supposedly from the combination of all of these things, where her system just like shut down because of a confluence of relaxants.
And her dad, he hired a secondary autopsy, and he got people to test her hair.
Yeah.
And it was all these different things like that they were like speculating about, and they reckon that her death was more sinister.
Well, Brittany's father, Angelo Bertolotti, applied to the Superior Court of California to get hair samples of Brittany's hair to examine it for foul play. He had a suspicion, and he was like, give me her hair and I'll check it out. So in November 2013, Bertolotti came with a toxicology report that said there was elements of heavy metals like antimony and barium in Brittany's hair.
Yeah.
Like,
that had me shook.
That's weird when you think that what the metals are. So think about this then. Antimony is also known as kohl, K-O-H-L, and it was used in ancient cosmetics like eyeliner in ancient Egypt. So they had this stuff and they'd break it down and they put it on. It's still
called eyeliner, kohl eyeliner.
Yeah. So that's what this stuff is, antimony. And now it's used in flame retardants and flame proofing compounds. And it's also used in moisturizers for animals in veterinarian practices. So if you have a horse with a bit of a dry gowl, just get out this.
I will say, antimonious, to play devil's advocate stuff on this, it could be hair dye.
As well, but this stuff is not involved in hair dye. check it out though. Mm. It is involved in flame retardants and flame proofing, right?
Strange.
So barium then, or human consumption of antimony will result in respiratory irritation. These are the symptoms. Human consumption of antimony will result in respiratory irritation. So these are the different symptoms. Pneumoconiosis and cardiac arrhythmia. So pneumoconiosis is the hitching of breath, or the not being able to breathe in, like an asthma type of feeling, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have a cardiac arrhythmia, so like an irregular heartbeat. And these are the symptoms that Brittany showed when she hit the dirt.
Yeah.
Fell out of the shower, hit the ground. She had died of pneumonia, what seemed like pneumonia. Then you take barium, which is found in her system. Barium is similar in its effects to antimony because it has cough, wheezing, nasal irritation, and a condition called barytosis after ingestion. So when you take it in, you get this barytosis. And barium is used as an additive of steel and cast iron and other alloys in building materials. And in this old house, it could have been used as solder to keep, or welding to keep metal struts together in the house to put off this thing called creep resistance, which is basically like, you know, this house was up on a hill and they'd have all these, inside the bricks, they'd have all these steel bars to make sure that if the ground moved in any way, that all the bricks stayed in the same place.
So weird. There's so many possibilities for her death.
Well, let's put it this way. They were talking about mold. They were talking about disintegration of the building materials because of like rising damp and mold.
Mm.
So what happens if in the mold that grow inside the house, the mold gets into the metal and gets into the flame retardant materials. I know we're not talking about asbestos, but flame retardant materials inside the walls, and the mold gets into that, and the spores are shitting themselves out into the house. Both Simon and Brittany are breathing all this stuff in. So then there's antimony and barium found in her system because she's been breathing in the decomposing housing elements in her house.
And her immune system's already compromised, I guess.
But look at all the symptoms that causes, like respiratory irritation, cardiac arrhythmia, coughing, wheezing, nasal irritation. Like all the medications she was taking is to combat that stuff.
Yeah.
Like that's cray, right?
Yeah. It is weird.
Yeah. Tell them all about it, those conspiracy guys. So experts looked into this accusation by Bartolotti and they came to the conclusion that it couldn't be deliberate heavy metal poisoning because it lacks some of the typical signs, namely lines across the fingernails. So she wasn't injected by the government with heavy metals. These lines are called Mies lines or Lukianchia stratia, which is, you know, when you get the white lines going up there. When you get poisoned, and they're always present with overt heavy metal poisoning. So obviously these elements were trace elements found from ingesting it orally, obviously breathing in the bad mold in the house, and the building materials had disintegrated with the mold and been breathed in by both Simon and Brittany because on the 23rd of May 2010, just 5 sharp months after Brittany died, her husband Simon Manjak was also found dead in the same house that they shared together with exactly the same type of death, which is fucking weird as shit.
That began the conspiracies for sure.
Big time. So complications of pneumonia and anemia was his official death. Now, this lad was suffering from a load of stuff, including a heart attack. How did he manage to end up getting pneumonia as well?
A lot of people reckon he killed himself.
Out of the guilt.
Yeah. They were kind of like, a lot of people were speculating that he did it. Pneumonia
to death.
But people were saying like, oh, he has something to do with it. And then they were speculating about the mother and then.
But isn't it mad how they put, like, we've talked about this on loads of famous people's you know, death episodes, that when something tragic happens, they always try to put a narrative to it.
Yeah, you always try. That's the thing. I think you want it to be something more.
Other than the tragedy.
Yeah, you don't want it to be the benign tragedy that could have been mold.
Well, the LA County Department of Health had considered toxic mold in the house. And they said that these chronic conditions are caused by that type of mold. And they tried to cure, you know, the lads tried to cure themselves with over-the-counter medications. But Ed Winter, who was the county coroner, said that it was absolutely not possible that they died from mold inhalation because there was no indicators medically that this was the case. And yet we see the effects of barium and antimony ingestion. And then we find after Bertolotti's medical report that she had that stuff in her system. So who's lying? Is it the people that made the report for Bertolotti, or is it Ed Winter, the county coroner? It seems like it's going up a little bit in conspiracy. Brittany's mother then doubled down on this theory and said it absolutely was the mole that killed Brittany and Simon. And Simon was, by all accounts, a bit of a shyster. Like, this lad was well able to spin yarns, and he told people porky pies about his skills and abilities. He was smart. He was, and he demonstrated his knowledge for language, and he used to play the piano while she used to lie underneath it and listen to him playing it, you know, this kind of crack. He was kind of like a weird bullshitter, kind of a half-arsed kind of a dude. One of his exes, his ex-fiance is from London in 1999, describes him as, quote, very manipulative, and said that he lied about his wealth, and even wrote a letter to the FBI. She wrote a letter to the FBI saying that they cannot even comprehend that a person can be so deceptive.
God.
I was like, bitter much? But obviously he was a shyster. He was taking people out for loads of money. She said he's sick often, and he lies continuously. He's defrauding people all the time. And he's hurting people even in his own family. And she said that he himself admitted all this to her by the end of their relationship. So she's like, this guy is full of shit. Now, he had been caught and arrested already for staying over his visa in 2007, and Britney had to bail him out. He was also deeply, deeply in debt when he met Britney first. And he's in the middle of a bunch of lawsuits all over Hollywood for work that was left undone. He'd be given, you know, here, you're going to direct this, or you're going to be a producer on this. And he'd take all the money in and not do any of the work. And then they were like, so he was up to nearly $1 million in lawsuits.
That's crazy.
So he was just all over town, sick as a dog, loads of fucking seizures, loads of heart attacks.
It makes you be like, what did she see in him?
Like, seriously.
Yeah.
It seemed like predatory. And a lot of people were like, fans of Brittany Murphy, obviously, were going, yeah, that fucking fat cunt, he got into her for his money, and for her money, and he was all in debt. And
I think people thought that, like, when she died, they were like, oh, she's going to get all the money. But then when he died so suspiciously and soon after,
they were happy enough.
It was like a weird thing.
Like, you know, do you blame Simon? We'll find out in our off the fence in a second.
I did in the beginning. I did. When I went down the rabbit hole, I was like, he did it. The mother definitely did it. He did it. They were totally in on it. They loved each other secretly, and they killed Brittany. Like, I was down the rabbit hole at one point.
What about this then? What about that the respiratory bug, like you said, that she developed it in a film shoot for a tiny little film in Puerto Rico where she'd gone 6 weeks before her death. She got this condition, and it was in the autopsy, Staphylococcus aureus. And this was the killer condition she got because she was living in damp/wet quarters in a very under budget accommodation in Puerto Rico. And when she came home, she was just dying of a really bad cold and literally died of a fever.
That seems plausible to me too.
Happened to Molly Malone.
Well, that's it. Like, it seems like there's things here that are so, like, like you said,
it's so obvious and overt and tragic and benign.
Yeah, it's so weird. It's such a weird, the whole thing is weird. That's why I think this podcast, I want people to know about it.
Yeah.
Because it is like a tragedy, but it's also a tragedy because it's so
nothing. It's so weird and, like, easily solvable.
Yeah.
But
why is it such a mystery?
When you go and try and find this stuff on the internet, it is almost impossible
to find anything. It's very hard to find information.
This is literally everything there is on any documentary or on any website that I found. Now, one extra one. This is weird. And we could go deeper into this, but there's no information with it either. This is the maddest part. And we'll finish at this and get off the fence. Other claims have been made about a government conspiracy to kill Brittany Murphy. And she was killed because she supported a government whistleblower, Julia Davis, after Davis claimed that the US were letting in terrorists over the Mexican border on purpose. Brittany and Simon were on a government watch list for months and their phones were wiretapped. And Julia Davis was branded a domestic terrorist after she exposed Homeland Security for letting in terrorists on the Mexico border when she worked as a border guard in California. And she saw loads of bribery and corruption, and she told her story. She told it to the press. She got lambasted. Brittany Murphy stood up for her because apparently this Davis one was playing Angelina Jolie's body double in some of these movies. So they got to meet on a movie set. Your one knew her. Brittany Murphy knew Davis and went, hey, is that shit happening to you? All right, I'll stick up for you. And then Brittany Murphy got fucked by the government, and they started, like, looking into all of her shit. And she thinks they're the ones, like, cutting the fucking electricity, breaking the heat in the house.
That kind of made her even more of a recluse, because the two of them, her and her husband, were both convinced they were being followed and watched. And
they were. And because Dava said that she was being watched. She said that people who were willing to support her, and she knew this for a fact, that these people were being watched, they were being tracked with aerial and land surveillance, including internet tracking, vehicular surveillance, warrantless searches and wiretaps. And if you want to know the story of Julia Davis, you can watch the documentary Top Priority, The Terror Within, and that's on YouTube. Like, it's a mad story.
When I heard that the first time, I was like, oh my God, I mean, I've never heard anyone talk about it.
Would they go so hard on Brittany Murphy to kill her for just standing up for Davis? Wouldn't they kill Davis instead?
Yeah, like,
why
that's
kill
what
a
I
famous actress if you wanted to keep this thing under wraps, you know? And I think the Murphy death associated with this Davis thing is one of the reasons why it's so famous.
Yeah, that's it.
If Brittany Murphy wasn't involved,
who would know about it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, like, that's a weird one.
I like that she stood up for someone, though.
Yeah.
But she was like, nope.
She's got principles.
Yeah, she does.
That's what it is.
She did. No.
Now, you might think that that's, like, a little bit of a shortfall on the death of Brittany Murphy, but that's literally it, right?
That's all we know, and
it's
there's
more,
not much information about it.
It's more of a mystery
that's never solved.
It's more of a mystery than it is like a true crime episode, like
an unsolved murder mystery.
Maybe she died from pneumonia. We get off the fence now. Maybe she died just from a cold that she got in Puerto Rico, or maybe she was killed by the government. But there's literally nothing you can say.
That's
all what we just said there now in the last like hour and a half. That is all there is on the internet.
Yeah.
About Brittany Murphy.
And there's loads of speculation. And like, I myself, when I went in on it, I was like, down with the conspiracy.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I want this to be more than just the benign death kind of. I know that sounds weird.
Because that's the saddest type, right?
Yeah, because that is the saddest thing. And then when you think about
Jim Morrison just slipping away in a bath at 27.
It just is sad. And then when I heard about that last conspiracy, I was like, oh my God.
Imagine if that was true though.
But if it is true, like, that's
imagine
like
if they're letting in terrorists into it wouldn't be the first time.
But it's like the least likely one. But if it is true, imagine.
Yeah. They say the same about Marilyn Monroe, that she knew about the connection between JFK and San Giancana. So she had to go because they couldn't connect the president to the mob.
And that's why I think her death is quite similar. Not totally similar, but it is quite... It has a few consistencies there with Marilyn Monroe's.
Same type of notes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same notes. And it's such a sad thing because I like... knowing. And I like the closure.
Come on, of course.
So whenever I hear a new conspiracy, I'm like, this is my closure. This is my closure. You know.
Finally, they've uncovered it.
Yeah. I want someone to like tell me. I hope one day there is like a really legit documentary made about her life.
I'm sure that when all the people who are involved in smuggling the lads over the border are all out of their jobs, I'm sure in 20 or 30 years someone will find something. But yeah, that's it, man, for the death of Brittany Murphy. It's a short one. There's not a whole lot in it. But you definitely want to look at the life before you look at the death. And then the death, it's kind of very mysterious and sad and detailless. And it's something that was, for someone so high profile who was about to break it out.
Yeah.
You could look at, we could do one on River Phoenix as well. Like,
oh God,
was he,
I love River Phoenix.
Was he topped off? Or was he just a tragic drug story? There's so many of these little ones where someone's famous will die and you're like, huh, and they died. And then you look,
that's it.
You scratch a tiny bit deeper and then you uncover the bones of a massive government conspiracy that's completely unsolvable. You know?
It's wild.
Bananas. So we get off the fence and then we leave you go, Shauna, so you can get home to your loved ones. Brittany Murphy, off the fence, did her mother take advantage of her by bringing her to California, or was it Britney's choice and the mother was supporting her?
I feel like she genuinely was supporting her, to be honest, but I feel like they had a really weird codependency, which probably led to a lot of her behaviors of being a recluse, because she was
single mother thing.
Yeah, she was so close to her mother, so she didn't want to leave her, and then her illness and
Grey Gardens.
Yeah, so I think, and then her husband, maybe Britney just wanted to fix people.
Yeah,
you know, she wanted to take care of everyone, but she never took care of herself.
Let's get off the fence about, I would agree in that, let's get off the fence then about her falling short of her career goals. Would she have been eventually a leading lady, or was she destined to always be second fiddle?
I don't know, it's a weird one.
What do you think?
I like to think so. Like I said, I'd love her to be Harley Quinn. And I feel like if she did get that kind of role, that would have catapulted her somewhere new, because she could have used her talents in that area of being like good at playing crazy for an iconic role that would have cemented her.
Do you think people's unwillingness at the time she died, which is 2009 at the age of 32, same as John Bonham and Bruce Lee, do you think that if the world was as woke to mental health as they are now, like nearly 10 years later, that she might have been appreciated a little bit more, yeah. And they would have been able to separate the performance from the actual person.
Definitely. I really do. I think, like, she would have
been, understand mental health back then.
She would have been, I think she would have been like an advocate. I think she would have done a lot. I think she would have done a lot more than we think she would have. Because I'm just sad she didn't get to do it. Because I can only speculate, of course, but I feel in my heart she had a lot of talent. She was so underappreciated. She went under the radar. And I just hope she got like her one shot. I just want her to get one big movie that would have just given her that boost.
Yeah, to start a tidal wave of successes.
Exactly.
Yeah. Then off the fence about her being disillusioned with Hollywood and planned to move to New York away from LA, take care of her mother and her sick husband. Like, is that what was done, or was that, like, is that what would have been done, or was that just lip service?
It's very possible she would have just went and lived a quiet life and just done a few like indie movies, because I think she had that kind of potential to do like indie.
There was a lot of indie stuff towards the end.
So I feel like she probably would have just done a lot of indie movies.
Doing a lot of straight to DVD shit.
Acted, did what she liked as a job and had her family and lived more of a normal life.
And money and a big paycheck wasn't her primary goal. It was more about making good films and having the bands.
I think that would have been realistically what would have happened to her. Yeah. Like, I think she would have coasted. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that was probably more than likely
what
happened.
You have millions. Like, how many millions more do you need, you know?
There's people like that who have really good careers, but they're not massive, massive names, but they live a decent life. I think she would have been one of those people.
Yeah.
I would like her to have a big role, but I think she probably would have lived her life normally as much as possible.
One would like to think. Off the fence then about her death.
That's a hard one.
Yeah, when she died, is it? So this is a three-sided fence. Is it? She was sick from a job she took in Puerto Rico, and she was taking all these prescription medications and over-the-counter stuff, not really measuring her intake, and ended up over a six-week period kind of overdosing herself so that her body just became so weak that she collapsed in the shower and she just couldn't be revived because
I think that's the most plausible story.
Or was she, and that's from the Puerto Rico thing, or so take the medication bit from the first one and say, was she taking all that medication because her house was full of mold that was bringing in antimony and barium and all of these mad stuff and causing all of these symptoms that all of these drugs were designed to fight against. So we're talking about the rhinitis, we're talking about the pneumococcalococcus.
God forbid you ever get that.
Whatever the fuck it's called. Where you have, you know, the persistent coughing, the sniffles, like all the cold symptoms, like all of this stuff she was having because of the mold in her house.
Yeah.
And she was staying in the house the whole time because she was minding the ma and minding the husband. And the fact that the ma didn't stay there all the time, but the husband didn't, and he died 5 months after her of exactly the same symptoms, does it not point towards that? Or the third side of the fence is, was she assassinated by the government for helping a whistleblower by injecting heavy metals into her body? I think that for me is the least likely.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a grand conspiracy, but it's probably the least likely. So is it like,
I feel like it was probably the
middle one. Was it a coal she got from Puerto Rico, or was it mold, and is there somebody to blame that we can go to the...
I'd say it was more than likely the mold, sadly, in my opinion.
Do you think
so? If I'm being realistic about it, yeah.
Black mold is a killer, man.
Yeah, I think it's probably the mold.
Pulling down all of the metals out of the materials in the house. And
it's such a weird way to die.
Fucked, man. Over 6 weeks. Why did she not go to the doctor at all?
There's so many questions you could ask, and I would encourage people to go look, check it out, make up your own mind about it, because it is a wild ride.
There is literally no information on why. Though.
That is it. That is so. It's a frustrating thing to like.
Nobody
research.
Talked about it. Her ma and Simon Manjak went out to loads of interviews.
Yeah, they did a lot.
They put out information, like as Shauna said, was false. Like, she could have taken cocaine. She wasn't suffering from a heart defect. Like, all of this stuff.
So who knows?
Who the fuck knows?
Who knows?
It's a tough one. I do think that also it was the black mold disintegrating the house, and she was just breathing in a falling down house. Like,
more than likely.
Lemony Snickets or some shit. Like,
it's terrible.
Terrible.
It scares me. Mold scares me now.
So if you got that black mold, you want to check that shit out. That's it for this time on Those Conspiracy Guys. That's been The Death of Brittany Murphy. Weird little episode. Very unusual and
I enjoyed
off the beaten path. You got to talk about Brittany Murphy, so you enjoyed it.
I did,
it
yeah, I was happy. Normally people don't listen to me.
It's a
so thank you.
it's a weird little story, something to tickle your brain. And it's off the beaten path of the general, you know, Hollywood elite type of kind of strange death. You know, a lot of people die in strange ways, man. You know, Whitney Houston.
Yeah.
Gone weird. Bill Pullman, gone odd. Like a lot of weird musicians and actor deaths that are just like, hey, that's weird. Oh, no, it's grand. And it's not these huge conspiracies that they have, like,
just question everything.
Marilyn Monroe or Tupac. Yeah. Go have a look at Brittany Murphy. Most of the documentaries are a heap of shit. But if you do want to check out the Julia Davis story, Top Priority, The Terror Within is the name of that documentary. And I'm going to try and find that and put it up on our BitChute channel so you can have a go. So anything we missed out, anything we left out, anything we got wrong, or if you want to just say hi, info@thoseconspiracyguys.com is the email. We're on all the social media. If you like the show and you want to help out, hit it up on Patreon. So the next season is on the horizon, and look forward to some brand new episodes. With hopefully Shona joining us for a long one to talk about some mad shit. Yeah, be great crack. So all it leaves me to do is thank my guest for today, Shona Ellen, aka Ellie Jaden.
Thank you for having me.
On YouTube, you can find her channel Ellie Jaden or Shona Speaks. She's at Ellie Jaden on Twitter.
On everything, pretty much.
And thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
It was great crack.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Just going home and crying, watch Clueless.
Watching Ramen Girl.
Yeah.
Eating ramen. We finally got her out of Offaly. Yeah. Still the big smoke
I'm
now.
Here.
So we come again some other day. So that's it for Those Conspiracy Guys for this time. Thanks very much for listening. This is The Death of Brittany Murphy. I've been Gordo.
I've been Shona.
And we'll see you again next time. Thanks. Bye.